Pray with me. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And my prayer for us as a church is that we be found faithful to you, that we take seriously your command for us to go and make disciples. And I pray that as we study your word, we come to a better understanding of what that means as we live our lives. Father, let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear, that we may walk out of this room more like you than when we came in. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. 61% in this day and age, if you can get 61% of people to agree on something, that's a pretty solid majority, right? We are living in a pretty divided world and a divided time. 61% was the percentage of a Lifeway study, and Lifeway is our literature and research end of the Southern Baptist Convention. They did a study at the end of last year, and they found that 61% of church members have never shared anything about Jesus with anybody. Let that sink in for a minute. 61% of people who have their name on a church roll, who confess to be Christians, have never shared Jesus in any shape, form, or fashion with anybody. That hurts my head. That means 39% of us are following Jesus' commandment. 39%. That's it? That's the best we got? 39%? Let that sink in to the thought that Jesus told us to do one thing. One thing. Now, those of you who have had the blessed opportunity of being parents, I know at some point in your life you have uttered, "I just wanted you to do one thing." Right? And they messed it up. Just one thing. One thing. What do you think Jesus says to us today when only 39%? Now, I'm going to tell you something else, which is even scarier. Of that 39%, some of them's lying. Your kids never lied to you, did they? No. So the question for us as a body of believers that we call Calvary Baptist Church, one day we're all going to be gone and Calvary will have another generation, another season sitting here. What will they say about us? And will they say that we were faithful to the call of making disciples? If we're not, there won't be another generation of Calvary Baptist Church sitting here. Last week we looked at our attitudes. This week we're going to look at our actions. Because, you know, our attitudes will determine our actions. Our attitudes about making disciples, and that's not my job, I'm not trained, whatever excuse you want to come up with to not follow Jesus' commandment is your attitude. Your actions are what you do because of that attitude. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Because there's something that we got to grasp, and I read it a few minutes ago in this verse that we've been parked on about Jesus telling us to go and make disciples, and then he said, "I am with you always." There's a reason he said that, and it's incredibly important for us to grasp and understand. If Jesus is going, he wants to drive. Always. He's not riding in the back seat going wherever you want to go. Okay? If Jesus is going and he said, I'm with you, you're my disciple, he wants to drive. That means, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. If Jesus is driving, your focus will always be on making disciples. Because that's the only thing he told us to do. What happens to us is we decide to drive and we get off on things that don't matter. And we put a lot of emphasis on things that don't matter because we want what we want, our sinful nature. And that's what our sinful nature craves. You ever had a craving for something? Ice cream, cookies. You ever had a craving for something and you couldn't figure out what it was? And so then you just start eating all kind of stuff. And see, y'all been there. You start eating all kind of stuff and you go, nope, that wasn't it. Nope, that wasn't it. It's the same way in our lives when you are craving something. And that something is Jesus, and you keep trying to fill it with all kind of other stuff, and you keep going, nope, that wasn't it. Nope, that wasn't it. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. He's got to drive. Now drop down a few verses to 22. If we are focused on Him and focused on the desire to make disciples, and our attitudes are on that, then our actions are going to be out of that production. So if you're focused on Jesus and you're letting Him drive, this is what your life looks like. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If Jesus is driving, that's what your life looks like. Not sometimes, not occasionally, but that's what comes out. Now, anybody in here got this mastered? That your life looks like this all the time? The first one's love. If there's love in your life, then all these other things naturally flow. But our challenge, or I'll say my challenge, I'll personalize this to me. My challenge with this group of fruit is there's other people in this world, and they're not too smart. There's another word I want to use, but my wife will get mad at me. People are just dumb. Okay, that's still not where I want to go. Y'all encounter these people? What is wrong with people in this world? You know what's wrong with them? They act like they're supposed to. Did you hear me? They act like they're supposed to. If they don't have Jesus, and they don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't have any of this. So they act exactly like they're supposed to. And what's my response to that? Anybody ever said, I gave Him a piece of my mind? That's not in here anywhere. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and giving them a piece of your mind. It's not there. The Great Commission is for us to go. The Great Commandment is for us to love. Not when they love us. Not when they act like saints, but when they act like sinners. Look at verse 16. Because here's where we get tangled up. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desire that we are the opposite of the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly, you might want to underline that or highlight it. These two natures are constantly fighting with each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. That's not an excuse. It's a warning. Your sinful nature is going to constantly want you to do something other than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you're not aware of that and you're not on guard of that, you're going to fall into what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Your sinful nature is going to crave that. And sometimes we just give loose to our cravings. Look at verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Very clear. You know what the result of your sinful nature is? Sin. So when I stop looking at Jesus and start thinking about what I want, the result is very clear. And here's the thing for us, and I'm going to read the rest of that in a minute, but here's the thing we have to be careful of. You can have one momentary slip into your sinful nature, and you will impact somebody's life forever. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to tell you a silly little story about Misty and I going to dinner. Okay? She and I walked into this restaurant. We sat down. We ordered. It was a hamburger restaurant. There are only two people that I know that know how to order a hamburger. That's me and Bob Haver. Meat and bread. That's it. Okay? I don't know how you can mess this up. Right? Meat and bread. Okay? When my hamburger gets to the table, it's got cheese on it. Now, I've been ordering hamburgers long enough, and hamburgers are so important to me that I have a dialogue that I say every time to try to get this across to people in the world. There's only one way to eat a hamburger, meat and bread. So when I order a hamburger, I say, plain and dry, meat and bread only. And they still mess it up. Mine showed up with cheese. I asked the waitress, I said, I don't want cheese. I just want meat and bread. She picks my hamburger up. She goes back to the kitchen. She comes back and she has brought me a hamburger that she has scraped the cheese off. No. Not at all. So I tell her, again, this is not going to work. I'm going to need another hamburger. She goes back to the kitchen. She gets almost to the door. And she yells into the kitchen, this stupid boy wants a different hamburger. I didn't eat there. But the point of this story is that happened 30 years ago. 30 years ago. And I have never forgot it. You can have one momentary slip where you tell somebody what you think in your sinful nature, and it will turn them against Jesus for the rest of their life, because they are going to label you and every other Christian just like that. And that's how those church people are. It was a hamburger 30 years ago. The impact that you and I have, and the ability we have to make a positive or a negative influence on people's lives, is unbelievable. My fear as a Christian is to get to heaven and Jesus say, there could have been somebody else here, but you turned them away from me. Can you imagine hearing that? Look at verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the result is very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. Anybody ever had one of those? Selfish ambition, deceit, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be very careful. And when, here's the challenge for us. When we look at this list, we like to look for the things that we don't have a problem with and mark them out. Oh, I'm good there. I'm good here. I don't have a problem with that. Oh, I know he does. She does. So I'm better than they are. But I don't have issues with this one. The moment that you stop looking at Jesus and you let your sinful nature take over, these things and others are going to show up there. That's our actions. And they are derived out of our attitudes. And our attitude has to be focused on the one thing that Jesus told us to do. Nothing else. Go make disciples. And what does that look like? What does it mean to make disciples? It's not all about how many people you prayed and led to Christ. Did you hear me? It's not all about that. Because sometimes your work and my work is planting seeds that somebody else can harvest later on. And the thing that we have to be incredibly careful of is that we are not planting weeds. I know I have some gardeners here. Is there ever a moment that you even had a thought of planting weeds? No. We fight weeds constantly. And why they have the ability to grow 6 feet overnight is beyond me. You can nurture and nurture and nurture a flower and it will take forever. And you blink and weeds are about to choke it out. And you cannot take a day off from pulling weeds. Can't. If you want to see what it looks like, come look at my yard. You cannot take a day off. And you and I cannot take a day off and focus on our sinful nature. We cannot take a moment off, because you and I have the ability to plant things in people's life that will keep them away from Christ. That scares me to death. But we also have the ability in our actions to make disciples, and a lot of times that's planting seeds of flowers that we will never see grow. I planted this spring a tree in my yard and nursed that thing through this hot summer, toting buckets of water out there to keep it alive. I probably won't ever live long enough to be in the shade of that tree. Think about that. I probably won't live long enough to be in the shade of that tree. Why'd you plant it? In my backyard is an enormous tree. Enormous. I cannot get my arms around it. The shade covering for it is probably 100 feet in all directions. I didn't plan it, but I'm reaping the benefit of what somebody else did. You and I, go back with me to 22. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we plant that in the world out there, they're going to be in awe, because that's not what the world gives. And that's our commandment. That's how we make disciples. It's not having some track with you or memorizing some Bible verses that you can spit out at somebody. If you want to make disciples, do that. God will do the rest. You do that, you go to the grocery store and start loving people that you don't even know, or giving patience to that person in the drive-thru line in front of you that's never going to meet you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can change the world. We can change Midlothian. We can change the grocery store with that. Or we can plant weeds. Look at verse 25. Since we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Not some part, not the Sunday part, not the Wednesday night part, every part. So when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he said, go and spread the word with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's going to make disciples. And when it comes down to it, nothing else we do matters. So as you think on that, watch this.
Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make fans, admirers, churchgoers, volunteers, activists? No. Make kids who love their daddy and want to be just like him. Make apprentices who study every move of the master and orient their lives around honing their craft. Make students who hang on every word of the teacher and go practice what they've heard. Show people what Jesus looked like and challenge them to look like him. Train people who ask, what is God saying? And what am I doing about it? Encourage people who look for what God is doing and ask how they can partner with him. Shape people to be those who desperately want to hear the voice of the shepherd. People who are fiercely loyal and relentlessly faithful to follow. Make people who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and who are eager to share all they have seen and heard that their joy may be complete. In the end, it won't matter how many people showed up and sat down on Sundays. All that will matter is how many disciples got up and followed the Master.
That's my invitation. It won't matter how many people came in here and sat down. It only matters how many disciples got up and went out that door. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, our desire is to love you. And I pray for every person in this room. Nobody's here by coincidence. We're here by divine appointment. I pray that it's here because we love you and we want to be more like you. Father, out those doors is a sinful, dark world that is very hard to live in, and you know that. Father, I pray that as we walk out those doors, we be ever mindful that there are two forces that are constantly fighting in our lives. My prayer is that we will be so focused on you that we will fill the world around us and the people that we encounter with the love of your Spirit. Lord, use us to glorify you and take us from this room now. Be disciples. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.